So after wishing everyone a Shavua Tov, you may be aware of the fact that yesterday we read the Haftorah for Parshas Achrimos. And that's a chidush, that's a pella. I'll tell you why. Because the rule of thumb is that when you have a double reading, a double parsha, then you always read the Haftorah from the second parsha.
Why?
Because the Haftorah is meant to be attached to Shvi, to the last Oleh. Now the Haftorah for Kedoshim, which is the second source on your page, comes from Yechezkel HaNovi. And in the second pasuk, Yechezkel HaNovi castigates the Jewish people and he says, Vodata eskolto avoseha, which is a very harsh rebuke against Yerushalayim. I don't mean the physical city of Yerushalayim, I mean the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. And because they were guilty, amongst other things, their three cardinal sins, one of them is Gilui Arayos, and the parsha of Gilui Arayos is in Kedoshim, therefore we read the Haftorah of Yechezkel for Parshas Kedoshim.
And is there another?
Yeah, sorry.
I think that's Friday has a different
yeah,
one.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. So now, Rabosai, pay attention that the first source on your page, which comes from Amos, which is Treyasar, is the rebuke of Amos of Bnei Yisrael, and is the appropriate Haftorah for Parshas Achrimos, and it begins with the words, Halo kivnei kushiyim atem li Bnei Yisrael. Now we want to focus on the words kivnei kushiyim, and finally swing back to the question as to why our minug is to read, in the case of a double parsha of Achrimos Kedoshim, the Haftorah for Achrimos rather than the Haftorah for Kedosh. Meaning, if we assume, and this minhag goes back many, many centuries, that we ignore, almost insult, the parsha of Yechezkel, which is the appropriate Haftorah according to the general rule for the second parsha, meaning Parshas Kedoshim, and instead we read the Haftorah for Parshas Achrimos, the question is why we do so. And I think that although the Ramah, if you take a look in the third source on your page, in Siman Tov Chav Ches, he codifies the halacha, this minog, that even though in general the rule is Kishikorin Shtei Parashas Maftirim Bachrona, the Haftorah comes from the second of the two parashios, namely Milvad, the only exception is the Achrimos Kedoshim de Maftirin Halo Kibnei Kushiyim Shehi Haftoras Achrimos. And the Levush, who was a contemporary of the Ramah, a little bit earlier, in Siman Tuf Tzadi Gimel, goes on a tirade to attack this minhag. And he says the minhag itself has no basis, and it's a minhag tos, and it's based on manuscripts that are incorrect and imprecise, as a tos sofer, etc., etc. And rather, we should fall back to the general rule that you always are maftir b'achrona from the second parasha. That's the opinion of the Levush.
The Haftorah that we didn't read was from Yechezkel?
Correct.
Is that the same one that we usually read Shabbos Kol Mod?
No. No. This is the Haftorah that's exclusively for Parshas Kedoshim and only for Parshas Kedoshim, with the following proviso that Kedoshim is read alone. If Kedoshim is read as it usually is, generally speaking, Rove, as an addendum to Parshas Achrimos, as an add-on to Parshas Achrimos, then we forego the reading of Yechezkel for the sake of the reading of Amos. And the question that I want to discuss with you is why. And in order to analyze this question of why the Levush's approach was not accepted, was rejected, and rather we prefer the Haftorah of Achrimos, I want to analyze with you together the phrase Kibnei Kushiyim, which is the opening pasuk in Perek Tes Zayin, is pasuk Tes of Amos, and that is the opening pasuk of the Haftorah that we read yesterday for Parshas Achrimos Kedosh. What does Kibnei Kushiyim mean? Keep in mind, please, that Kush is a land on the face of the earth, somewhere in the Middle East. keep in mind that Cushim are black people whose pigmentation is black. And keep in mind, please, the Gemara in Moed Katan, which is number 10 on your page. And in order to see that, what you have to do is you have to turn the page onto its left side. Do you see that? Again, it's, you probably could use a magnifying glass for this, but I apologize, I tried to fit in a lot on the page. The Gemara talks about the Medrash Shigayon LeDavid, a pasuk which mentions Cush. And this pasuk is a reference by David HaMelech to Shaul. Shaul, as you know, was chosen to be the Melech. And the reason for that is because the Gemara says he is very singular and very unique. The Tanakh calls him Cush. And the word Cush is a code word for someone who's very unique, someone who's outstanding, someone who's singular, someone who cannot be confused with others because of his unique, you know, he stands out. And Shaul is called Cush because he stands out. In what way does he stand out? Shaul is Meshuneh B'Masov. Shaul, as you know, was a very humble person, and he was very unique, and he was chosen to be the king of Israel, despite the fact he didn't come from Shevet Yehuda. Why is Cush a code word for this uniqueness of personality, of character, in the case of Shaul? Because Cush is Meshuneh Ba'ora. If you take a group of Caucasians, you know, of whites, 1,000 of them, put them in a room, and then throw in one black, obviously that black stands out. He's very singular, very distinguishable. And that's going to be the code word to describe Shaul. Kayotze b'davar, the Gemara says, Ata omer halo kibnei kushiyim atem li. You, says Amos, are to me, says Almighty God, as the bnei kushiyim. You too are a unique people. V'chi kushiyim shman, v'lo Yisrael shman. Why does the Navi use the word kushiyim to describe the people of Israel? Ela makushi mishuna bi'oro, afish Yisrael mishunim v'maaseihem mikol ha'umos. So if I ask you the following question based on this Gemara Moed Katan, is the appellation B'nei Kushim as it applies to Klal Yisrael a positive compliment, or is it a negative put down? And what's the answer clearly?
Positive.
It's a positive. It's a beautiful description of B'nei Yisrael as a singular people. And Rabosa, I would submit to you based on this Gemara Moed Katan that the choice of Halo Atem Ki Bnei Kushiyimli as the Haftorah for Akremos is a fantastic choice. And it fits like a glove. And the reason for that is that one of the central themes, if not the central theme of Parshas Akremos, is the Havdalah, the separation of Klal Yisrael from the Umos HaOlam. B'chukoseyem lo telechu. You are a unique people. You lived in Egypt for 2 centuries plus. You did not pick up their customs. You remained a unique people. Lo shinu eshmam, lo shinu esmal busham. They didn't speak lashon hara. They were tsnuim. They did not get involved in any immorality. There was no, you know, there was no mixes between the mitzrim and the klali. So they remained a separate ethical nation, unique and different. And therefore in Parshas Achremos, the Torah commands us not to follow in the ways of the Goyim. The Mepharshim say that the Goyim are interested in pleasure, in having benefits from the Gashmias of this world. They're not oriented towards the next world, the eternal world. They are focused right here. In fact, you know, the Beit is famous for a tshuva about hunting. Somebody asked him, is a Jew allowed to go hunting to kill animals for pleasure? Not for food. And you know, the Beuda says that first I have to analyze this question from the perspective of Tsar Balichai. And after he finishes and he finds a heter, you know, he finds a halachic loophole that hunting is not a violation of Tsar Balichai if you do it this way and for this, then he says, but I don't understand your question. This is the atzmius of a guy to go hunting, also, to kill animals for the sake of pleasure.
Yeah. Also in the one of the parshas Shavuot says that whoever shofes kodshim b'chutz is it's a dam shafach.
Dam shafach.
And Rashi says that since he killed that animal in vain, so it's as if he murdered a human being.
Okay, so again, on a halachic level, the Noda Biyuda says, you know what, maybe we could work this out. You know, I always give the example of my students used to ask me about Aliyat Eretz Yisrael. So I used to say to them, if you need a heter for living in Edison or wherever you live, I'll find you a heter. You know, there's a whole... And it's so interesting that those who live in Teaneck and these places, they all of a sudden, when it comes to Aliyat Eretz Yisrael, they become Talmidei Chacham. They know every loophole in the book, you know. You know, L'shem Parnasa, L'shem Nisuin, I'm single, I want to marry. You know, everything, you name it, they quote you every source.
At least they're aware that it's a question.
Right. They feel guilty about it, so they're trying to justify themselves. So I say, if you ask me, says the Noda, for a heter for hunting on a halachic level, I'll find you one. But it's repulsive. It's so antithetical. Who is a hunter in Tanakh?
Esau.
And before Esau, who remembers?
Nimrod.
Nimrod is an Ish Tzayed. Nimrod is probably the biggest Russia that ever walked this earth. Bigger than even the Fuhrer, Yimach Shemo. If you know a lot about Nimrod. I don't know why people sometimes give the name Nimrod. I never figured that out. Okay. But we're going to deny that. The name Nimrod was never given to anybody. In any event, the Noda Biyuda says this is a fad. This is something that's repulsive, that's antithetical to what it means to be a Jew. You know, obviously, you talk about people who are bored in America. You know, they have what's called extreme sports. You know, people jump out of planes and they dive from mountains and who knows what they do. You know, a near death experience, which is a wonderful experience. Why they need a near death experience? Because they don't feel life. They feel dead. They're bored out of their brains. We are not bored out of our brains. We have Tariq mitzvahs. We have Talmud Torah. We have so much to build and to do and to contribute. We glide through the air. We don't jump out of planes. And therefore, the Noda Biyuda says, I can't understand why you even ask this question. This whole hashgafa, which is so this worldly, of going hunting, and that's how you spend your time, instead of thinking about how to plant seeds for the next world, the eternal world, the true world, that's the chukoseim, that's the opposite of what it means to be a Jew. In any event, let's get back to our issue. Bnei kushiyim atem. If you take a look at the top left of your page, you'll see that the Targum in Amos says, "Halo kivnim rechimin atun chashivin kodam hakadosh baruch hu kodam ay beis Yisrael." You are rechimin. Rechimin means you are people of compassion. You are people of ethical sensitivity.
I think it means love.
And love, correct? Love and compassion and chesed. You are beloved to hakadosh baruch hu. You are a singular people. You stand out like the black. And who's called a black woman in the Torah?
Zipporah,
the wife of Moshe. Rashi says, Haisha Kushis, al shem Noya, because of her beauty, Nikreis Kushis, Ka'odim HaKoris B'no Noya. He doesn't want to call him beautiful because he's afraid of an ayin hara, Rashi says. That's a topic into itself. If you ever want to talk about that, that's a shiur. And Rashi says, therefore you use the word kushi instead, but really it means you're as beautiful as black is beautiful. Black is black. And the truth is that the Rishonim on Amos, the commentaries, think that Kibnei Kushiim is part of a very harsh rebuke of the Novi Amos. Rashi there says, Halo Kibnei Kushiim Atem, Lama emona, why will I prevent myself from bringing out paronius against you in punishment? Einchem shavim elai, you don't do tshuva, you refuse the rebuke of the Navi. Hello? At the end of the day, where's your ancestry? Mibnei noach atem, you're really like a nation like all the other nations if you don't fulfill the will of God. And just like the other nations, Kikushim asher enam shavim elai, and they deserve punishment because they don't do tshuva. The Gemara says Baruch Kama that God gave the Bnei Noach seven mitzvahs, and they can't even observe those seven mitzvahs. And now you're acting like the Bnei Kushim. Remember, you were also a Ben Noach, and just like a Ben Noach deserves to be punished for his crimes, so too you. So Rashi sees it as harsh rebuke. The Radak also says, Kibnei Kushim Shem Avodim, because you know that Cush was the son of Canaan, who was the son of Ham, and Ham, because of his maisa with Noach, if you remember the whole story there, was cursed to be Avodim. And you too are like Avodim. What did he say?
Cush was a brother of Canaan.
A brother of Canaan. I'm sorry, what did I say? Heim hashchorim ibnei Cush. Nimkarim la'avodim keino yoroi shetiyu atem avodim li. You also deserve to be avodim. Why? Because I took you out of Mitzrayim as avodim, and you're not avodim to me, so let you be avodim. Ah, but let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim is going to save the day. The Malbim is going to reflect the spirit of Targum Unkelus. The Malbim is going to reflect the spirit of the Gemara in Moed Katan that we saw. Kibnei Kushim. Achar Sheniva Peronius, after all the terrible despairing tochacha of Amos, the Peronius that he foresees, Siyem es Sifro b'divrei tanchumin. He finishes his book with words of consolation, and he says, Atem yuchadim li, you are unique, and you are separate from me, designated for me, says God, Kibnei Kushim she mitzuyonim, v'nikarim tamid, miyuchadim lavoseyem. You know that the ancestry is clear. Gam sheyiglu, even when I send you into exile, God says yisarvu ben ha'amim. Just like the black people can never really mix into any of the other societies, kachatem, so too, even after you're in Golus, v'tisarvu ben ha'amim tamid tiyu nikarim, you'll always be recognizable. Ki atem li, that you're a separate nation. So the Jewish nation may go down to a low level, but they still remain separate. Haloes Yisrael, Halesi Meretz Mitzrayim, says the Malbim, Gam Kisha Yisem v'Mitzrayim, Yom Rabim, Golem Mishubad, Mechozot Lo Sarabim, in Amitzrayim v'Mitzrayim, you were separate, you were unique, you were a singular people, distinguishable from the other nations. And Klal Yisrael and Shir HaShirim are described as Shchora, as black. And Klal Yisrael, the Raya, that metaphorically represents Knesset Yisrael, says Shchora Nivinova. And Rashi goes on in his Shir Shirim to speak about the Raya, which is Knesset Yisrael, even in its golus, it's only sort of blackened on the outside. You know, if you take a suntan and you get dark skin, but that pigmentation is a temporary change. But Rashi says, Ein, the last two lines in Rashi, if we have time we go through the whole Rashi, but Ein Shcharusi V'kiurai Mimei Imi Ela Yedei Shezifas HaShemes Shemes Sha'oso Shichrus Noach Lislaben K'shiyamol B'tzel. It's temporary, it's external. B'pnimius, no matter how low the Jewish people fall, they still have a chance because their essence and their soul is still pure, to purify themselves and to remove all the soil, the, you know, all that dross that's only external.
That means the shchora is bad, actually, because he's saying that it's going to change, like that.
Right,
even
but right,
you're black,
so right. Even though right now I seem to be soiled and darkened, you know, by the influence of the nations, but nevertheless, I still remain. The Medrash says, Shchora Niva Navah, Shchora Niva Masa, even though you look at my actions and you're critical of them, never Nasa B'may Savos, I go back to my roots. I have great roots, great Shroshim. Omer Knesset Yisrael. Sometimes, Ani B'fnei Atzmi, when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm very disappointed in myself. I remember my sins, my failings. But Nova b'fnei koni, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees through the externalities. I'm reminded very much of last week's parasha, the parasha of Negayim, which we spoke about last Sunday. And you may recall that the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, Gekiyeh ba'or b'soro se'esuv tapachas. It doesn't say b'toch b'soro. The tzaras is only on the or, it's only on the outside, on the skin. But the essence of a Jew is that he's pure, his nefesh is uncontaminated. This is the famous Rambam, you remember in Hilchos Gerushin, where the Rambam says, Kofen oso, we can beat up a person to give a get, and the Rambam says, well, why isn't it a get ma'usa? And the Rambam says that really he wants to give the get, because his nefesh, his internal soul, really wants to fulfill the halacha, and he's required to give a get. He's just being, for example, you remember the statement of I think it's Rabbah in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, when he says that his addition to Shmon Esrei is Ritzoni Lasos Ritzonecha. I really have the inner will to do your will, God. Elamaz Esa, but what's preventing me from doing so is the Sar Shavu'isa. and she would malchias. There are all sorts of external influences and barriers that prevent me from fulfilling my will, my true desire. And if you take a look at another Malbim, this one at the beginning of Chumash, which should be on the back side of your page, the Malbim speaks about the various rivers that came out of Gan Eden. You remember there were four tributaries. And the Malbim says that each one of these tributaries describe or refer metaphorically to a different kind of group of people, a different kind of a nation that emphasizes a particular dimension of human behavior. And he says the following: the four Roshim represent four Kitos, four different groups of people, that three of which represent the Kina, the Taiva, and the Kavod. He writes that Hayarboi Roshim Akifim Arba Medinos Shetivim Tchunasim Chaluka. There were four countries that had a different teva, a different tchuna, a different kind of characteristic. He says that once man ate from the Eitz Hadas, now man and his descendants would be divided into four groups: Yesh Rotfim Achar Ahon, Va'osha, those who love money; the Kachnia, there's another group, Rotfim Achar Taivos HaMishkal, Va'idunim, they're hedonistic, pleasure-seeking; Kachlishis, Rotfim Achar Kavod, V'Misra, they want a status, and they'll do anything to achieve that status. These are the three groups of the nations, and he divides them up into different people. He speaks about Kush, that Kush is the people who are interested in fulfilling their hedonistic pleasures. And then the fourth tributary, which is represented by Nahar Pras, he says that was Nifrad in the bottom paragraph, that was separate from all the other Naharos, Hu Asher Hishka Sagan, and that represents the land of Israel, which is a separate land in which there is a she'ifa, there's a tremendous desire and a yearning for Hashem to come close through Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to live on the highest level. And therefore, man has to strive to live in the land. The climate of the land is suffused with Shekhinah, with the ability to connect on high to the levels of Shekhinah. And if you take a look at number 20, if you again you turn your page a little bit onto the side, Al Tiruni Shanish Char Choresh Shasvasni Hashemish Bnei Yisrael Bietzem Tivam Hem Tovim Enom Shchorim B'Tivam Rak Yesh Sivos HaGormos L'Shachrusam. And therefore, in the bottom paragraph, he says that Enodom Chotel and Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus Gemar and Sota. It means that a person sometimes deviates from the right path, but it's only because of a Ruach Shtus. And he quotes, of course, the Bardicheva, Reb Levi Yitzchak, who was the great Sanegar on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He says that although a person's actions create Malachim, that's Al Pi Chassidus, it means if a person engages in a good action, he creates a Malach Tov, and a bad action, a Malach Ra. He says, Lo Ra Malach Sholem Hanivra Me'averis Yisrael. A Jew could not possibly create a complete, total Malach that's evil. Ki eino seyu b'leiv sholem. Even when he sins, he doesn't do it out of the real, genuine expression of his desire. It's not b'leiv sholem, and therefore the malach is never sholem. If this be the case, Rabosai, perhaps we could shed a light on our minhag to read the parsha, the haftorah of Amos, halo atem kivnei kushiyim atem for achremos, and to avoid reading the haftorah from Yechezkel, the Haftorah of Kedoshim. I have here in front of me a sefer called Nefesh HaRa. Just by show of hands, I'm curious to know how many of you might be familiar with this sefer. Okay, Rav Hershel Schechter writes a piece here called B'inyonei Eretz Yisrael. And he says the following: B'nogei l'tainas ha'tainah neged ha'chofshim ador. He says that there are those who have very strong claims, or I'm looking for a stronger word than claims, but sort of negative reports and say things that are very disparaging about the secular Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Umismarmen, they have complaints. Why do they run the state in a secular way? He says, Loya Nichol El Rabbein. The Rav Salvation did not appreciate those kind of statements. And in order to express why he objected to that kind of harsh critique of the secular nature of the state of Israel, he would quote a Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah records a machlokas between Chachamim and Rabbi Lazar about Haftorah for Parshas Kedosh. And Rabbi Lazar is opposed to reading this Haftorah. Why? Because Ein Maftirin B'to Evos Yerushalayim. If you look at the second pasuk here, it says, Vodatas kol to'avaseha, you reveal the to'evos, means the gilarayas of Yerushalayim. And he says, Yerushalayim, we're not allowed to do that. And we pass like the Chachamim that you're allowed to read this Haftarah. And it's actually published in the Chumash, and you'll find it in the back. But, says Rav Soloveitchik, Li'olam ein anu korim Haftarah zu. We never read the Haftarah for Parshas Kedoshim. He says, why? He says, Kol pam shem shtei parshios mechuboros kosef avudraham shenogim likros haftorah shel parshas achrimos halo atem kivnei kushiyim atem. Even though in general our minig is to read the second haftorah in a double set, but nevertheless in this case is an exception. And not only that, he says, "Afilu k'sheparshas kedoshim ba b'shabbes b'fnei atzma." He says, "Rov pa'amim yia over Rosh Chodesh." That means Makar Chodesh is the Haftorah. O be erev Rosh Chodesh. Over Rosh Chodesh means Hashemayim Kisi. O be erev Rosh Chodesh Makar Chodesh. He says, "V'af k'she'ein etza acheres." It's kedoshim, and it's not erev Rosh Chodesh. It's not Rosh Chodesh. Haminag belita. Again, only the Rav could say this because he saw it with his own eyes. Hayalikros es haftorah halo atem habnei kishiyim atem shtei shabosos zuachar zu. They would read the same haftorah from Parshas Akrim, which is appropriate for Akrimos, halo atem kibneishim, two shabosos in a row. Rakidei shalo lavar al daito sharabi lozar, so that we would not violate the rule of Rabbi Lezer, She'ein maftirin v'to'evus Yerushalayim. Because Rabbi Lezer did not tolerate to'evus Yerushalayim. And the Gemara quotes a brisa, their Megillah, Pam maisa ba'odam echad, she'yakore lamala mi Rabbi Lezer, he was on in the bima on top, v'to'evus Yerushalayim, he read this parsha in Amos as the Haftorah. Amar lo Rabbi Lezer, Ad shata bodek b'toivos Yerushalayim tsei u'bedok b'toivos imecha. And the Gemara says, bodku achro v'matzo shumamzer. You know, you're the one who speaks about toivos of Yerushalayim, let's check your own lineage out. And it turned out he wasn't so kosher yosha. And then the Rav says, as quoted here by Rav Shefta, ein anu marshim lebal maftir limtoach bikoret al Yerushalayim. We will not allow the Baal Machtir, the Baal of Torah, to express this critique of Yerushalayim.
But we pass like the Chachamim.
Even though we pass like Chachamim, which means that technically you're allowed to read Toivus Yerushalayim. You could read Kedoshim. We never ever read it.
Anyway.
Why? Because Rav Lozer. We don't want to touch on Toivus Yerushalayim.
It's like a Ephra Lekem Shtem kind of thing. Like, right?
Maybe.
You don't have to read it.
But again, because
it's the shorter one, I'm behind us now.
I was waiting for some comment for you, John. We couldn't go a whole year.
I want to read any midhag that I can come up with the shorter after.
Jonathan, I don't know. I don't know if your comment indicates that you didn't appreciate what we're saying here. This has tremendous hashkafic repercussions. He says, let me just finish this up. He says that the Rav said regarding the Chet of the Meraglim that the Ramban in his Pirush Al Torah Parsha Shlach says, I don't get it. The Meraglim was sent to spy the land, they were the scouts, and to bring back a doch, you know, what did it for him, according to their understanding. That's exactly what they did. In Kein Machat, Eza Chet Chatu Meraglim. So the Rav said, in the name of the Netziv, you know, the Rav's grandfather was married to the Netziv's granddaughter. So the Netziv was a very important personality, even though there was a little conflict between the Rav's great-grandfather and the Netziv as to who would be the Rosh Hashiva in Valozhin. But anyway, the Rav says in the name of the Netziv that the answer to the question of the Rabban is that Mikan Rai, we have to derive the following conclusion. Shalagabi Eretz Yisrael, there's a separate halacha with regard to Eretz Yisrael. Asur lahagid afilu es ha'emes. You can't even speak the truth about Eretz Yisrael. Imhi mara, if it's sad, if it's bitter, if it's soiled and negative. The afal emes ish iser loshen har, but usually that applies to a human being. Here it applies to a lamb. He says, the af shetzrichim u'mechuyovim hayu amaraglim limsar adok shalahem. That was what they were sent for. Nevertheless, lo hayo lehem lahagid is kol emes. They should have held back. And he says that's another example of Rabbi Loza's sheet of Ei Maftirin B'Toevus Yushalayim. Even though we know that there were Toevus Yushalayim, unfortunately. But that's not something that we have to publicize. So Rabosai, I really believe that this minug of Lita, which answers that strange question as to why we obviate the normal rule of being Maftiv Achrona in the case of two parashiyos, and we prefer the Haftorah of Achrimos, is because we want to avoid Toevus Yushalayim. And instead, we want to speak about the beauty of the Jewish nation, and especially the influence of the land of Israel on this people. The fact that they are Bnei Kushia means that they are a singular nation. And no matter where they go in Golus, and what influences they have, and even if they fall, and they sin, and they're deficient, nevertheless, the Ikar, the main primary essence of a Jewish soul is always pure. It's always trying to strive to come closer to the Shechina. Okay, that's for the Ashkafic part of our discussion. And now, if you can give out these pages, we'll take a break for Birkat HaMazon, and then those who have a few more minutes will do the halakhic
part. In all the stuff that we say on Tisha B'Av, though, we don't like say how sad it is in Jerusalem. Like, we don't like.
But we try to. They're kinos, and in kinos we speak about the terrible devastation. And but we don't highlight the averos so much. There's very little in the kinos, if any at all, about the averos. In fact, I don't know if you know, J.J. Schechter, Rabbi Schechter, has published a book. It's called "The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways." Are you familiar with that book? It's the Rav Zichron Levracha used to give us kinos on Tisha B'Av from 9 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon.
Wow.
Non-stop. And every kinnah he interpreted. And Rav Schechter, based on the tapes, I was there for five Tisha B'Avs, he was able to recreate that atmosphere of those days. It was unbelievable. We used to wish each other a good yontif on Tisha B'Av. It was just such an experience to hear the Rav and his insights into kinnah. It was unbelievable. So he actually transcribes and organizes the Rav's Chidushim in that book. And basically he claims that one of the kinnis reflects this very idea that we study today of Shchora Ani V'Nova B'Nos Yerushalayim, that all of the negative about Yerushalayim and about Eretz Yisrael and about the Jewish people, it's all external, it's all superficial. So if you have that book, or if I can bring it in for you, remind me. And you'll see that beautiful piece on one of the kinnis of Tisha.
But Yechazkel still wrote it. Rather, it's still there in Tanakh.
Doesn't mean it's not true. It means
we don't
just read it ourselves.
Right. Of course, keep in mind, Jonathan, the idea of Haftorah is basically Necham. It's consolation. And what greater consolation could there be than Halo Atem Kivnei Kushiyim Atem? That no matter how far we stray, we still are essentially beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of our great innocence. That's the Nechama written here in Amos, and that's the one we're going to prefer rather than castigate the Jewish people and Yerushalayim. And also, by the way, this is an introduction to Yom Yerushalayim, which is coming around the bend, and that is that Yerushalayim is like the Holy of Holies. You know, that you can criticize, but once you get to Yerushalayim, it's like, you've been pogea in the very nefesh, the very lifeblood, and the essence of the clouds. Okay, I want to hear benching so I can answer. I didn't watch, but...
Yeah, Q3, yes. Yeah, okay, cool.
So we want to study now the halachas of Sfiris Omer with regard to Sfeikos. And in this particular essay, he outlines a number of different sfeikos that could come up. And the determination of how to count Sfira or not count Sfira, with a brach, without a brach, in these sfeikos, really hinges on one fundamental question, and that is, are we dealing with a mitzvah d'oraisa or a mitzvah d'rabbanan? You may recall that we touched last week on the fact that when the Migdash stood, the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer was a mitzvah d'oraisa, and according to all the Rishonim, with the exception of the Rambam, with the destruction of the Migdash, there's no longer a mitzvah d'oraisa of Sfiras HaOmer, but Sfiras HaOmer today is Zeichel HaMigdash, it's only d'rabbanan. However, there's another major issue that we have to address, and that is there one mitzvah of Sfira, of counting 49 days, and every day is counted as part of a larger whole, larger mitzvah. It's like Talis, you know, every one of the four knuffos is a part of the mitzvah of Dalet knuffos, or is every day an independent mitzvah, a mitzvah unto itself? So if you'll take a look at the paragraph that starts with the word bizman, you'll see that he clearly indicates that since the pasuk says Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Tiena Ad Mimachras HaShabbos HaShviyas Tisperu Chamishim Yom, it means that from the moment that the Omer is brought, you have to count the 7 full weeks. That is a mitzvah d'oraisa. But Bizman has said we don't have the Migdash, and therefore we cannot bring the Omer. The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is only Zeichel HaMigdash, it's only d'rabbanan. And that's going to have a tremendous impact on Safek, because in the case of Safek, I'm going to apply the rule of Safek d'rabbanan l'kula. And therefore, he quotes in the next paragraph, a number of Rishonim who hold that Sfiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh is only d'rabbanan. He's got the Baal HaMor, he's got the Ran, he's got the Sefer HaChinuch, and a whole slew of other Rishonim. And the pasuk, which indicates that the mitzvah of Sfira is d'oraisa, that's only when you have the Omer, the Mincha Chadasha, that, in other words, the Sfira bridges between the Omer that's brought on Tetzayim B'Nisan and the Mincha Chadasha, the Shtei Alechem, that's brought on Shavuos. However, on the bottom paragraph of your page 1, he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Tmidim Musaf in Perek Zayin, and other Rishonim that are codified by the Mishnah Brura in the Bir Halacha. For example, the Rav Yah, who's one of the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and Rabbeinu Yerucham, and they all maintain that Sfiras HaOmer today is Min HaTorah. However, they make a distinction between counting weeks and counting days. Rabbeinu Yerucham insists that although the counting of days is d'oraisa, the counting of weeks is only d'rabbanan. And the lumdus here is that apparently, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, there are really two mitzvahs hidden in Sfiras HaOmer. There's counting days and counting weeks. Counting weeks is the bridge between the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. That can only exist as a mitzvah when the Omer is brought and the Shtei Alechem is brought, the Migdash stands. However, the counting of days is meant to bridge two great events, two great holidays on the Jewish calendar, namely Pesach and Shavuos. The significance of bridging between those two holidays is independent of the Beis HaMikdash. So whereas counting between the Omer and the Shtei Alechem is contingent on the Mikdash, counting between Chag HaPesach and Chag HaShavuos is independent of the Beis HaMikdash. And that mix of counting Yomim, according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, is d'oraisa even in our day. And here we turn.
Why is one bridge the days and one of the weeks?
Because if you look in the psukim, it's very interesting that when the Torah says Shiva Shavuos Tisfar Lecha, it speaks specifically in that context about the Omer and the Shtei Alechem. If we had time, we'd go through the psukim, but fine. Now, if you take a look on the next page, I think it should say two on the page, no? What does it say on the
lower left?
Just 1 second. I just want to make sure I have a different copy than you do.
On the lower left, it says two.
Yeah. Do you see what says two on the bottom of the page? Yeah. All right. Okay. He says la halacha, the poskim accept the sheet of the Rishonim that Sfiras Omer today is only the Rabbanan. And yet we apply the principle that whenever we can, we try to satisfy even the Rishonim who hold that it's Doraisa. Here he refers to the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov, Peites, and Rabbi Kivega's explanation there, and that is that although there are so many Rishonim who hold that Sfiras Omer is Doraisa Bisman Hazeh, and we should be makpid on this mitzvah as if it were Doraisa, nevertheless, we always have a fallback position of relying on the main bulk of the Rishonim that Sfiras Omer Bisman Hazeh is Drabba. My nafkimi. So the first nafkamina is, when is the earliest time for counting Sfiras Omer? As a general rule, with regard to mitzvos d'oraisa, the night is engendered by Tzeis HaKochavim, meaning when there's finally darkness, not only has the sun set, but there's no reflected light on the horizon. For example, in Kriyat Shema, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, we wait till Tzeis HaKochavim. Insofar as Sfiras Omer today is d'oraisa, according to the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yerucham, and others, we should be waiting until Tzeis HaKochavim. However, if need be, we could rely on those Rishonim who maintain that Sfiras Omer today, because that's, as we said, the primary sheet in the poskim is the Rabbanon, it's only Zeichel and Migdash, and we could count Sfiras Omer from the time of Bein HaShemashos, which means after sunset, with Shkia Sachama, the Torah says, Samaor HaGadol HaMemshel Sayom. It means that the sun determines Yom, and the lack of the sun after it dips below the horizon, that sets up Lila. And now we get to another issue. What happens if he misses a day of Sfiras Omer? And it's going to be a Machlokas Rishonim, and this is in the paragraph that starts, Kimo Chen, Nechleku Rishonim, in Mitzvahs, Sfiras HaOmer, he mitzvah b'fnei atzma b'chol yom v'yom, o shema he mitzvah achas, hamischalekes lemem tes yom. And Tosus quotes the Vahag, the Baal Halachos, who maintains that there's only one mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, and all 49 countings are integrated into one sphere. The Rush, on the other hand, says, kol laila v'laila mitzvah b'fnei atzma. The question is, where is this Rush? Nobody knows where to find this Rush. I mean, Tosus is in two places. Tosus is in Masechta Megillah and also in Masechta Menachos in the Sugya Sfiras Omer. Where do you find this Rush? The Rush is at the end of Masechta Pesachim. And that's where the Rush makes his statement that every single day of Sfiras Omer is a mitzvah unto itself. And therefore, based on that understanding, he comes to the conclusion, the Rosh, that if you miss a day of Sfiras Omer, it doesn't matter, it's totally irrelevant. Tomorrow's a new mitzvah, independent of today's mitzvah, and therefore you can continue with your mitzvah of Sfiras Omer. What would the Bahag say if you missed a day? Tosus says that if you missed a full day, then the Bahag would maintain that you can no longer count Sfiras Omer, because it's one mitzvah comprised of 49 parts. And the famous Kasha, how could the Rosh say that how could the Bahag say that all of the 49 countings really form one single indivisible mitzvah? We make a bracha on every single counting, on every single day of the Sfiras Omer. But if it's all one mitzvah, then you don't make a bracha 49 times for one mitzvah. We're very stingy about giving out brachas. One mitzvah, one bracha per mitzvah. Right? Non-transferable. So how is it that we make a bracha on every single night if it's really one mitzvah comprised of 49 parts? So although he doesn't offer an answer to this question, I heard an answer from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, and he wanted to suggest that even the Bahag agrees that every night is a separate mitzvah. When the Bahag says it's one mitzvah, he means to say that it's interdependent, meaning every day depends upon the previous day. And tomorrow will depend upon today. It's continuous. There's got to be a sphera. You cannot say that today is the fifth day of the Omer if you didn't say that yesterday was the fourth day of the Omer. It's meaningless. And therefore, if you skip a day, you forfeit the mitzvah for your Omer. Even the Bahag holds that every day is a separate mitzvah. But nevertheless, each day is dependent upon the day before that, and the day before that. And ad infinitum, because you need the continuity. The continuity is what defines the sphera as a sphera. And Rav Salvech had an interesting proof for this, because the Sefer HaChinuch in Shin Vav, when he quotes the Bahag, he says that according to the Bahag, if you forgot a day, then you should say that yesterday was kach for kach and today is kach for kach. It means that you, if you miss the day, the continuity is gone unless you mention what yesterday was. That was his proof. Okay, now we have a section called Safek im Safar. What should you do if you don't remember whether you counted or you didn't count? So according to the Mishnah Brura, im nasan im nitan lisfar sfir somer biyom, o shema ein lisfar el balayla. First, he raises the question of counting Sfiras Omer by day. And he says that the Shulchan Aruch paskins Misha Shachav Lobir Kol Alayla Yispar Bayom below Bracha. And this is a very odd kind of halacha. On the one hand, you're going to count during the day, but on the other hand, you're going to leave the Bracha out. Well, Mimanavshach, if the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer can be fulfilled by day, and that's why you're counting by day, why don't you make a brach on it? And if the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer requires Laila, why are you bothering counting during the day? And once again, I think we have to say what we said in the context of the Bahag here also. The counting during the day is not a counting of a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah that you're counting. It's not a ma'aseh mitzvah, a spiritual mitzvah. If it were, we would certainly make a bracha. The fact that we dropped the bracha proves that this sphira is not a spiritual mitzvah. Well, if it's not a spiritual mitzvah, why bother with it at all? The answer is, it's a ma'aseh sphira. And that ma'aseh sphira makes the day into a counted day. So that tomorrow, I can continue counting with a bracha.
This is in line with what you said about the Bahag.
Correct. That you need the continuity one day after the other. And that halach of continuity can be fulfilled with a ma'aseh sphira, even without a mitzvah sphira. And therefore, if you didn't count at night, although you cannot fulfill the mitzvah sphira somer the next day, the next morning, but nevertheless you can maintain the continuity, the hemshechiyut of the sphira, which will facilitate your ability to count tomorrow with a bracha, because it's not considered as if you skipped it. There's no diluk. What happens, and with this we'll conclude, in a case where, let's just compare and contrast two cases. Case A is where you left out an entire day. In such a case, you cannot continue counting with a bracha, because according to the Bahag, this is an interdependent mitzvah, and you forfeited the mitzvah because you missed an entire day. So that's going to be suffik brachas lahakel, even though the Rosh would certainly allow me to make a bracha henceforth, but I'm not going to make the bracha because I have a suffik and I can't make a bracha in the case of suffik. Maybe the halacha is like the Bahag, and if you miss the day, you forfeit the entire sphere, the entire mitzvah is gone. What happens, on the other hand, if I didn't count at night and I counted by day? So if you take a look at the paragraph that starts Nechluku Aposkim, he says, Yitochen shelo dilei klal b'sfir sa'omer. It's quite possible that he didn't skip a day at all. Lefi shita, hashita, according to that opinion, shesfir sa'yom, ola, l'sfira k'shera. Umi idoch gamim sfir sa'om, lo nechsheves l'sfira, v'nimtze shedilei al yom shel sfira, hari lefi shitas rishon ma'achas, ein sfir sa'yom ma'akavos zu et zu. He says that there's a sveksveka here, because it's quite possible that you could fulfill the mitzvah by day. And even if I'm worried about the sheet who says, no, you have to fulfill the mitzvah at night. But in the worst case scenario, the counting by day is meaningless, and it's as if, for all intents and purposes, if you skipped an entire day. Well, skipping an entire day is going to be a suffix, because we don't know if the halacha is like the Bahag or like the Rosh. So now it's a 70, so to speak, a 75% probability that you can continue to count with a bracha. Because on the first suffix, as to whether or not you can count during the day, you've got a 50-50 suffix. And now, even if I maintain, like that opinion, that you cannot count during the day, You must count at night. Nevertheless, there's a 50-50 chance that even if you missed an entire day, you can continue counting. And that's the sheet of the rush. So we have now a Sfek Sfek Lekula, and that's going to tip the scale, allowing us to recite the sphere with a bracha. So just to summarize, the lumdus is as follows. If you missed an entire day, that's going to be machlokas, the rush, and the bahag, and the way we interpret it is that even though they're 49 separate mitzvahs, they depend one upon the other because you need the continuity, that's the bahag. If you didn't count at night, and you count during the day, that's another machlokas rishonim, another suffix, whether or not you can fulfill the mitzvahs for yourself by day. When you combine these two sfeikas, i.e. in the case of someone who counted by day and not at night, can you continue to count with a bracha? The answer is yes, because I have two tzadim, two logical reasons that push me to continue with the mitzvah sphere. Number one, it could be that you can be yotze the mitzvah sphere by day. And number two, even if I can't, there's another logical reason that would push me in that direction. And that is because maybe the halacha is like the rush, and you don't require absolute continuity. Every day is a mitzvah unto itself.
Shouldn't it be even more than a Sfek Sfek? It should be like 95%, because even on the tzad that
speak a drop loud if you don't mind.
Yeah,
even on the tzad that each
mitzvah is b'fnei atzma, but the ma'isa, the most of me is a ma'isa mitzvah. So you got the ma'isa. Even if you're not yotze during the day, you the ma'isa mitzvah, yeah.
The Ma'isa Sphere, you mean?
Ma'isa Sphere.
Right. No, it's not Petorah Sphere Shal Mitzvah,
right,
but Petorah's a Ma'isa Sphere, yeah. But that only goes according to one opinion, meaning there's another opinion that would say that even... But you're right. In a sense, I don't know if it's 95%, but yeah, it does jack up the percentages. But there is a Shita that's going to maintain that counting during the day is not even a Ma'isa Sphere. In order to maintain and salvage the continuity, because there's no such thing as spheres yomim, the mitzvah spheres leilos. The Torah wants to count every new day within the period of laila. So your ma'isa sphira doesn't relate to the chefta shel yom legavi sphira, because the chefta, the entity of yom legavi sphira, is only the night. But that's a good point. Right here, came and sheish kan shtei sfeikos yesh lahakil lahamshich limnos the simas sphere bebracha. But the ofen sheshachach lispa legamri beechad ayomim, he didn't count neither by day nor by night, nor by night nor by day. Then he should continue counting the rest of the sphere without a bracha, because there's only one suffix. He definitely left out an entire day, and that's going to be the machlokas between the bahag and the rush. Now, Mishan is topic lo im safar bi oso yom o laila. If a person doesn't remember whether he already counted, let's say it's now the 22nd day of the Omer, and I don't remember if I counted or not, and it's the night of the Omer, so you should count without a bracha, because again, safek brachos lahakil. B'dieved, if he didn't pay attention to the, he calls it the Orech Hayom, V'lo chazal lispar ad lemachras balaylo, yochel lahamshich lispar bibracha. In other words, during the course of the entire day, he didn't pay attention to the suffix. I mean, he wasn't aware of the fact, hey, wait a minute, did I count or did I count? So now it's already the 23rd day of the Omer, and he doesn't remember when he counted the 22nd. Maybe I missed it. Then he could continue counting, in other words, in this case, the 23rd day of the Omer, with a bracha. And that's the language of Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Tav Pei Tes, because he writes, "Avol imu mesupakim dileg yomecha velo sofar yispar shayomim bebracha." And once again, because it's a svek sveka, it could very well be possible that halachas like the rush, if you missed an entire day, and furthermore, even the bahag would have a suffik in this case, although the bahag sees all the days as interdependent. But here, he may have actually counted that day. We don't know if he did or if he didn't. Then he writes, "Gam im kama irolo kama pa'amin shenistapek im sofar olo v'lo nizkar ad li achar oso hayom yochla hamshich lispar bibrach." So let's try to give an overview of what we've seen until this point. we have situations of doubt which we encounter during the Omer period, and there's no shortage of doubts. It can involve the number of days that are counted. You're not sure which day to count. You're not sure exactly whether you're Yotze if you didn't count verbally. We'll soon see. And of course, if you're not sure if you skipped a day, you're not sure if you can count during the day if you didn't count at night. We discussed the fact that when the Beis HaMikdash stood, everybody agrees that the mitzvah Sfiras Omer is Doraisa. After Churban, we have Machlokes, one school of thought, led by the Baal HaMor at the end of Pesachim, and the Rosh and the Ran, they hold that the mitzvah today is only Zecher LeMikdash DeRabbanan. The Rambam, on the other hand, and other Rishonim that are brought down in the Bir HaLacha, they maintain that the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer is Doraisa, even Bizman HaZeh. And we quoted the compromise Shita of Rabbeinu Yerucham, that days are Doraisa, but weeks are Derabbanan. The Shulchan Aruch in general, as we saw, codifies the halach in favor of those we showed him that this is only Derabbanan, this is a mitzvah Derabbanan in our time, and therefore one can count Sfiras Omer even during Ben HaShemoshos, even following Shkia without, before Tseis HaKochav. Those who want to be Machmir and are careful about the Rambam Shita and those other Rishonim that Sfira today is Doraisa, they should wait, postpone the Sfira until Tseis HaKochav. Is the Omer, the mitzvah of Sfira Omer, a daily mitzvah? Each day is a distinct and separate independent mitzvah. And that is explicitly the Shita, the Rosh. Or is it one mitzvah made up of 49 different countings, and that's one explanation or one particular understanding of the Shita Sabahag? There's one mitzvah of 49 days, and therefore you can't even miss one single mitzvah. We discussed the possibility, with especially within the framework of the Bahag, of counting yesterday today. In other words, I missed yesterday, then I should mention tonight the number that was appropriate for yesterday. Yesterday was the 22nd day of the Omer, and today is the 23rd day of the Omer. Now, if a person counted during the day, and he didn't count during night, on subsequent days he can count with a bracha, and the Mishnah Berurah reasons that the reason for this is because of Svek Sveka. It's possible that the halach is such that each day is independent of the other days, and that would be the Rosh. And it's also possible here that counting during the day is considered, in fact, a kiyum mitzvah. Because of this double suffix, one is permitted to continue counting with a bracha. If, on the other hand, a person forgot to count a day of the Omer, both by day and by night, then he's not allowed to make a bracha henceforth. He should be very strongly encouraged to continue counting, but without a bracha. And the reason for that is because maybe the halacha is like the Bahag, and there are 49 interdependent mitzvahs to Sfiras Omer. Again, there's always an Eitzah. If you yourself cannot make the bracha, just listen to someone else who's making the bracha, and by hearing that person, you'll be Yotze Midin Shomea Ke'on. The last thing I want to discuss with you is the case of someone who doesn't remember at all if he counted. And in such a case, if a person has a suffek, then we apply the principle of suffek brachos lahakil. But let's say a person had a suffek that he counted, and the day went by, and can he count the next day with a suffek, with a bracha? That's called a svek svek. So again, if he has a suffek on this day, and now he reminds himself, oh, I don't know if I counted, he cannot count with a bracha because maybe he was yotze already. But if an entire day went by, and then the next day I don't know, did I count last night? Did I not count last night? He's allowed to continue counting with a bracha because of suffek brachos, because of svek svek. fine. Let's call it here. I mean, again, there's a lot more to discuss, but I think we ran out of some time. Keep in mind that if a person has more than one suffix, let's say during the course of the entire Omer, a suffix arises over and over again, several times during the period of the Omer, and he doesn't remember on any number of different days whether he counted or not, he can still continue counting with a brach. And that has to be analyzed properly. Why don't we mitzarif these many different sfeikas and create a sfeik sfeikali l'chumra? Okay, Rabbosai, thank you so much. And I want to wish everyone a great day and chodesh tov.